Number four, the final one, was Melody Opposes. Or maybe it's Medley Opposes.
Oh, it's a pose.
Hey, Poochie, you look like you've got something to say. Do you?
Yes, I certainly do.
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
And visiting you over the past week, you are hungry. But what if, in the Royal Rumble, the Big Boss Man should track you down?
Well, you know, Mean Gene, I'm worried about a lot of things, man, in the Royal Rumble. You know, yeah, the Boss Man's won. But first off, me and all my Hulkamaniacs, we're looking at the Royal Rumble as the resurrection of Hulkamania, man. Oh, yeah, Hulkamania lives. Oh, yeah, Hulkamania's running wild. And you better believe the Hulkster rules, brother. But if somebody like the Big Boss Man gets in my way, I'm going to give him a lifelong sentence of Hulkamania. Even if his partner, the Bad Akeem, gets in my way, I'll press him over my head and throw him out of the ring. We got the Heenan family. We got 7'4", 565 pounds Andre the Giant. But I got a lot of things going for me, Mean Gene. I got the three commandments for a foundation, the training, the prayers, the vitamins, brother. And with all my little Hulksters watching my back, I don't care if it's dog eat dog in there. I don't care if it's every man for himself. Because the deck is stacked in my favor. And with all my little Hulksters watching my back, I predict victories for Hulkamania.
All right, at the risk of sounding negative, Hulk Hogan, what if you and your mega power partner, the Macho Man Randy Savage, in this competition where there are no partners, what if the two of you happen to collide?
I guess if it comes down to me and the Macho Man, he's going to find out real quick that the Hulkster's never been beaten. I've got the largest arms in the world. And yes, Macho Man, I am still called the champ by all my Hulkamaniacs. What are they gonna do when the largest arms in the world rumble on through?
Oh, what more can you say? Gorilla Monsoon, let's go back to you.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast, filmed in glorious grapple vision and encoded with blast processing. I'm your host, Jay Hunter, here with Steve, aka V1, and Mr. OOC, as we chronologically critique the Hulkamania era. And tonight, we're reviewing the final stop before the mega powers explode. It's the Royal Rumble 1989. Let's do it to it.
Did you notice that the Top Gun entrance was back because it was missing from last pay-per-view and I was really pissed off with that?
Do you know WWE don't actually own the music that goes with the Top Gun logo?
Really?
Yeah, yours is different than mine. Alright, so our opening bout is a 6-man, 2 out of 3 falls tag match. It's the heel Rougeos and Dino Bravo versus the faces Hart Foundation and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Jimmy Hart, who was dropped by the Hart Foundation, is advising the heels of their weaknesses.
I actually quite enjoyed this match. I really liked the Canadian team, although there was kind of a 1.5 Canadian teams. The Rougeos, and their, I know you mentioned it before, but the flag waving and all that's marvellous.
That it's a great gimmick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fabuleux.
Because I think at the last show, they mentioned that they were moving to Memphis.
Oh, very good. Very
so
good.
From Montreal to Memphis.
Uh-huh. The USA chants for the bases were quite humorous, and Jesse does point it out, their USA chants when Bret Hart's wrestling. Duggan, really over again. I don't know what he does. I mean, he's you know, okay, he's a, you know, an All-American. He, you know, waves a flag, and but why is he getting pops? Like, why, he, you know, he starts the USA chants and he gets a big pop. It's the worst kind, isn't it?
How over would he be nowadays? Like,
not at all.
You think so?
No.
I still love that shit though.
They do, that like highest rated Raw where everyone's praising Raw. It's like 2 hours of We Love America. It was the one after, was it Bin Laden was killed?
Oh, yeah. Jesus,
we got him.
I thought that the opening of this match with Anvil and Dino Bravo doing the kind of powerful strongman grappling thing, I miss that from wrestling. You never see that nowadays. I thought it was great.
Well, test of strength. Like,
yeah, it's just, you never ever see it. I know it's not like exactly realistic or anything, but I just think it's awesome. Duggan came from NFL, right?
Yeah. They all came from the NFL.
Do you know what team he came from? Like,
Jim Duggan played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Really? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Goldberg played for them as well, didn't he?
That's right. Very good. Yeah. So the crowd explode when Anvil rams the heel team in the corner and there's like a pileup in the corner. It was great. Then the heels turn around, burst to the face finisher on Brett, and Jacques gets the first fall.
The jumping whoopsie doodle. <Love that. laughs> It's great.
Raymond is the much more talented guy. He seems to carry them through all of their tag matches. I've kind of noticed this over the last couple of months. And he had a fucking whopper mustache as well. one to be celebrated, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. The winner and loser of the fall must start the next fall. Is that fair? Like, that's a distinct disadvantage.
I just think nowadays you just book to suit whatever you need the kind of outcome of the match to be.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right, every show.
Yeah. Somebody call my mum. So there's a camel clutch, then a Boston Crab by Jacques, as Brett tries to inch his way to the corner, so Jacques has to continually readjust like a crab. It was fantastic.
The match really dipped. I mean, it started off really well. I thought it ended really well as well. But in the middle, you know, the classic 80s, early 90s kind of beat down, you know, Brett cut off in the corner. It just went on and on and on. And, you know, okay, he got his baby face sympathy and all the rest of it, but it dragged the match on for me.
Maybe it's because it's the first match on the card, so your tolerance was at the highest, but I really enjoyed the match. Like, this whole pay-per-view went through one go, no problems.
Yeah,
loving it.
Same here.
Brett gets the beat down, blocks a monkey flip. Has that been done before? Have you ever seen anyone block a monkey flip?
How did he do it?
He just kind of hooked his arm. He was in at the turnbuckle and he hooked his arms into the ropes. And it's like, oh, taking the bump.
I've never really thought of that, no.
So they build to a hot tag, the crowd go mental as Duggan cleans house and pins Rey Rougeau himself, despite Anvil and Brett doing the slingshot splash, and Brett almost necks himself with it. Notice, Hacksaw has the hard head gimmick. So extend that gimmick from blacks and foreigners to idiots. Or is that all the same thing? Are they equal? You know? Finish of the match is Rey pushes Brett off the turnbuckle and Anvil goes to schmoz with him. Dino and Brett are in the ring. Hacksaw sneakily hits Bravo with a 2x4 from the apron and Brett picks up the win and wins the match. So despite Jacques trying to break up the fall, and nothing stops Brett from pinning Bravo. So very 80s.
Yeah, and great to see Brett picking up the fall. He's really starting to get going at this stage. I was very happy overall.
Yeah,
overall this was a pretty damn decent match. Got a bit slow in the middle, but you know, the opening 5-10 minutes and the end were definitely good enough to make this definitely above average. I thought that the Rougeaus were awesome in this match, especially Raymond's mustache. I was impressed.
Alright,
Steve, I know you're always banging on about Ventura, but I really, really started to appreciate him in this pay-per-view.
He did great at the end, banging on about Brett and team cheating, didn't he?
Yeah.
I thought it was really awesome.
And he's
the best commentator ever. This JR bullshit.
I don't know. No, like,
I've watched JR for most of his career. He's not the greatest of all time.
No, but I mean, you can't compare play-by-play with a colour commentator.
I know, really. I know.
But I think, I preferred Lawler kind of, you know, mid to late 90s.
Give me 97.
In 97. But I have to admit, That's the kind of style I love Ventura's doing.
He's great, isn't he?
Fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Monsoon and Ventura had amazing chemistry, and it's like, this is a shining example of a commentary done right.
Yeah.
But, you know, they make jokes and whatever, but it's all relative to the performers and enhance them, so it always brings up the heels and brings up the faces, so everyone gets over. So
that's right. As a commentary team was a happening.
We go backstage. We have a pre-tape with the Million Dollar Man, Virgil, and some cretin in a suit. Million Dollar Man can't believe his number and calls Slick to try trade numbers with one of his clients. And then we cut to various wrestlers choosing their numbers out of the, what do you call this, lotto spin dealy?
The bingo ball thing, isn't it?
Can I get it? Sorry.
It's a tombola.
A tombola?
Tombola.
Tombola. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Mm. Oh, very good, very good. All right, so, yeah, we see the Bushwhackers.
Yarr.
The Honky Tonk Man. No noise effect. The Bad News Brown. Demolition. Axe calls the attendant a geek, which is where Alvarez must have got it from. And then we have Jake Roberts. And you guys actually got the Rockers. Well, I didn't.
Yes,
they cut it on mine.
Yes, did. Well, this whole segment, I thought, it started off really well, you know, DiBiase, what's he doing, you know, this is going to be great. Gets progressively worse. You know, Bad News says something, Jake, as I could barely hear him as well. And then at the end, it just gets the Rockers, and they just say, good luck, and then off they go.
That was a terrible segment.
Do we really need that thing?
No.
All right. Then we get a voiceover by Ventura telling us that the Super Pose Down is next. This has to be Vince's wet dream. Two roid monkeys showing off their body. Cut to Fink handing off the mic to Mean Gene. Rude comes to the ring and cuts a quick promo, and then Warrior comes out clad in his wrestling gear.
There he comes, full speed ahead! Champion, look at him. He is something else. Look at Heenan got out of there in a hurry. What were they doing? Working out in the corner, Jeff? He was pumping something there.
Certainly he's getting pumped up, Monsoon. This is a pose down. It's not a wrestling match.
Well, this guy doesn't have to get pumped up. He's pumped up all the time.
He's an idiot.
I find it odd since there's no reveal. Don't mean to mix genders, but you know when women do bikini contests, they all have a robe so they can disrobe and show off the bikini. But you know, Warrior's just out in his attire, so you know he's not going to change or wow. You know, anyway. No.
We've seen it before.
So the gimmick of the Super Pose then is that Rick Rude knows his shit and he has, you know, professional poses and that, and he has names for them and. Heenan always tries to get him over and tries to cajole the fans while still being heel to vote for Rude, and Warrior is just like a 5-year-old flexing his muscles.
It was awesome. It was amazing.
Ventura even, you know, even is giving out about Warrior's poses, and at one point he's just jumping up and down, like turning around, jump up and down doing poses. Fantastic.
He was so great. I love Rude's promo prior to Warrior coming down, where it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to show off my muscles and stuff, and I want to win this contest and prove that I'm a better bodybuilder. But he's like, no. I want to prove that I'm the sexiest man in the world. It's like, yeah, it's what a gimmick. This man is a heel. He's fucking awesome. Warrior's entrance, just say that it was great. It's the crowd popped huge. It's just, this man, he's bursting with muscles and charisma. Like, he's great. Obviously, the first thing that came to my head is Hunter and Big Papa Pum from like 2003, was it?
The exact same thing.
The exact same gimmick. Yeah,
booking as well.
Exact same gimmick, that the heel is the guy who is clearly in better shape, is clearly a better poser, knows what he's doing, is doing everything right, but it's just, you know, the fans are going to cheer for the face, of course. Did you notice Rick Rude's Warrior Jocks?
Yeah, that was cool.
Great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Just absolute money. Anyway, so we move on to pose number one, which is the biceps pose. Rick Rude was pretty geek at this point. His biceps are nothing to shout about. He's ripped and everything, but Warrior comes out and it's like, holy crap, these things are huge. See the needle popping out of his arm. It's just, oh my goodness. Heenan was awesome here as well, when he was telling the fans that they needed to vote fairly and vote for the best and not your favourite. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it's the same gimmick for all four poses. Between rounds, so Heenan pleads with the fans to be fair, and then between the second round, he oils up Rude's abs, and then between the second and the third round, he says he needs 15 minutes to repair.
That was the best.
Between the third and fourth pose, they do some final exercises. So, yeah, fantastic style.
It was really awesome.
It was, I mean, one of the most homoerotic segments that I've ever seen. You know, even like Gorilla and Ventura, oh, look at the body on him, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, Jesse was a bit over the top, wasn't he?
He was not letting Monsoon say anything. He's like, what would you know about this, you know? Yeah, it reminds me of last year's Rumble, where they had a super long non-wrestling spot. Remember with Dino Bravo doing the bench press
attempt? With the weights, that's right, yeah.
During the pose then, only Rude's theme plays. War's theme never played.
Really?
Yeah, it's like he was really trying his best to win the crowd over, and there happened none of it.
Heenan was amazing in this whole segment. Just his handling of the crowd was so expertly done. He had them eating out of his palms. Fantastic work.
He was saying the great people of Houston and all that. Fantastically.
It's great because, you know, he's a heel and he's always said heel things, so to hear him being a sycophant sucking up to the fans was brilliant. You know? Rude had these like pro poses, but he still gyrate all the time, negating whatever pose, you know, he was supposed to do.
That's because he's sexy. Yeah. That's what sexy men do. They gyrate.
Okay. So
you nosy.
Damn fucking right. Right.
Pose number one is the double bicep pose. Pose number two, best abs.
And Rick Rude.
Oh,
smoked warrior.
Yeah,
holy shit. He's putting his oil on before his pose. It's just great little, just a little thing. Yeah.
Number three, most muscular pose.
And that was too close to call on that one, I'd say.
Okay, and number four, the final one, was melody of poses. Or maybe it's medley of poses.
Oh, it's a pose.
Rude does his pose, and before the Ultimate Warrior can finish turning around and hulking off, Rude smacks him from behind and chokes him out.
This is the funniest moment in OSW review so far. Warrior's there doing his pose and he goes for the big pose. Heenan sprays him in the face with the water, and obviously Rude was late attacking Warrior, so Warrior's just standing there like, gets sprayed in the face like that, and she goes just completely ignores it, and then finally Rude comes up and whacks him in the back. Absolutely hilarious.
And then just to top it off, when he finishes battering with his flexi bar, he poses again. That's just brilliant. I loved it. I loved the segment. This is one of the best segments we've watched since we started doing this show. I fucking loved it. I'd imagine if we saw this on a pay-per-view nowadays, we'd all hate it.
Yeah.
But in 1989, man, this shit worked, and it still works.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, this is one of my earliest wrestling memories that I definitely remember watching, and I loved it back then, and I loved this, you know, last week as well. It was fantastic.
Well, as a Warrior makes the comeback, the heels skedaddle. The officials come in to break it up, and Warrior cleans house. It's hilarious. The suits are flying all over the ring. He's dumping them all over the place. It's absolutely fantastic. He just goes mental.
So, no walk of shame for him. He, you know, he goes mental and runs to the back and ends the segment.
Yeah.
All right, so next we got a women's title match. Rockin' Robin with one of the worst themes in wrestling history. Holy God.
I don't remember something.
All right. Nice. And we're back. Here, I'll actually...
You're right, it was awful. Thank you.
She's hideous, though.
Rockin' Robin?
Yeah, face-wise.
Oh, she's 80s hot, man.
Really?
Yeah,
was that hot back then?
Yeah. Oh, in the 80s it was, yeah.
Mm.
Tell you who wasn't hot. The Terminator, Judy Martin. That's who wasn't hot.
That's not her song.
Was that her nickname, The Terminator?
No, that's just what I call her, because she doesn't sell.
It sounds like Sam Houston would have made the song. Already in the ring is Judy Martin and Sherry Martel. What jobbers, Jesus.
Judy Martin, holy crap. When's the last time we'd seen her? Like,
two years ago?
Jesus Christ, she aged around 15 years into...
Was she a golden girl, was she?
Yes, she was.
I think there's a certain age that...
Now she's a gruesome granny, like, she's terrifying. Did you ever watch that show, the Gruesome Grannies? You should Google that shit.
What is it?
It was like a Power Ranger ripoff, but like four like grannies in their 80s. Like,
really?
It was awesome, I loved it.
That's fantastic.
I was young. Gruesome Grannies.
All right. Sherry, dressed in 80s glam street attire, challenges the winner of the match and leaves and joins the commentary booth. Awkward silences ensue. It's interesting to hear Sherry and Ventura chat.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Hold on. It was not interesting. No. I'll tell you why it was interesting. As it was interesting to hear Sherry and Ventura chat, as it was Jessie who vouched for her and got her job in the Fed.
Mm-hmm. It's like, do they actually say that?
Like, no, they don't. It's like if Sean talked to Daniel Bryan or something.
Right,
like,
okay.
I thought it's interesting. Martel, she might be excellent on the mic later in her career, but she died a death with these quips.
Like, she was awful.
She's just, come on. She's like, yeah. That's what she was doing the whole match. She just kept repeating that. Just terrible, man. Yeah, you're always banging on about how great she is on the mic. Yeah,
she was fucking phenomenal with Sean.
A warrior. There's a warrior promo about 2 years from now. Yeah. And she's the fucking star of the show.
Oh, yeah, you're banging on about
but that. Not tonight, she wasn't.
Not tonight, no.
She's like, I'm going to be the next women's champion. And Monsoon quips, not sitting at the commentary booth. And she quips, get away from me.
Some sharp wit there, isn't it? Rapier.
Yeah, so this is a short nothing match. It's pretty awkward.
After having given out about how Judy Martin looked older, I wrote one sentence and then went back out to give him how much she'd aged. It's like she's worse than John Cena. Did you see the amazing Boston Crab that Rockin' Robin put on Judy Martin? With the worst reversal of all time. You know, in wrestling, you know, you can kind of kick your legs and they flip forward. But Judy Martin didn't kick or move. And for some reason, Rockin' Robin just phantom bump. And Rockin' Robin's major canto. Rockin' Robin botched a fucking roll up. They do the Christian Orton spot on the top rope. You know, the Christian goes to do the fake splash and Orton fakes him out and catches him the second time.
This is the last time you'll ever compare those two.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Except there was no RKO. She just hit the splash second. She had 3 moves in this match and she botched all 3. Mm. Still has a nice arse.
Did you hear the pin drop when she came out from when she won the match?
Oh.
Like, does anyone know who she is?
I might blame the theme for that, seriously.
Were women on TV back then?
They had a good stint, like 1986 era, and then just over the last year and a half, they've fallen off a cliff. And here we go, poking the head up again.
Women's wrestlers from pretty much around the whole world were too busy wrestling in Tokyo in the 80s and 90s, because all Japan's women was really big then, right?
Yeah. After Rockin' Robin gets the win, the camera gets a close up of her after the match. No bra, yeah, very nice. Mm-hmm. Must be cold in the arena. Maybe she's got no heat.
Very good.
Cut to an interview with the Twin Towers. Akeem won't stop his impersonation of dancing. It's incredible.
With his effeminate hand.
He's like for 5 minutes. Like,
there's a bit of teapot in there.
Needs the toilet. Did
you know what I have written down here? I think Akeem has Huntington's. Oh, that's
any medics,
so awful.
Medicine jokes.
Clearly Vince doesn't understand the meaning of the word twin. I'll just leave it at that. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean?
Call them the Two Towers.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
All right.
And I thought I'd run the credibility of the show.
Sean Mooney questions Akeem about himself and the Million Dollar Man possibly switching numbers, and he fobs it off. Backstage, we get an impromptu interview with Rudin Heenan, who says he had Warrior beat from the first pose. So nothing
happened there.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for the Royal Rumble match. The Fink runs.
No. What? Hold on a sec.
No.
God, no.
Why? What?
Haku.
Haku.
Oh, yeah. We've got some more promos as well.
Yeah, there's the Jimmy, there's the Jimmy Hart promo when he's talking about his boys. And
he says, just says Honky's going to win.
Yeah, but then he says Greg Valentine's the master of the figure four, because that's going to help in the Royal Rumble.
If a guy can't walk, he'd injure his chin. He's going to go dead weight. I missed all of this. None of this is in the Coliseum Home video.
There was the Jimmy Hart one. There was an interview with Liz where she basically says that she'd be cheering for both Macho and Hogan, and she doesn't know who she'd cheer for if they ever wrestled.
Looking smashing as well.
Oh, she was gorgeous again. And then there was an awesome Mr. Fuji promo. He says that the Powers of Pain are coming for demolition in the Rumble, and that's all. At least the fucking is a barbarian didn't cut a bleak Japanese promo like last month. So that man can't speak English.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's meant to be his first language as well.
Okay, so time for the Royal Rumble match.
Nope. No, still not. We have Haku. The amazing King Haku versus King Harley Race. And the first thing I've written down is, God, I'm dreading this match.
Is the winner of this match the King of Kings then?
No, he's no, because Harley Race is the ex-king. He's not technically the king.
Yeah, that's right. King Haku took his kingdom from him.
Very good.
He actually did give it to him, but, you know, no backsies.
He gave it to him?
Yeah, Harley Race, I was telling him that something. He
no backsies. He clearly didn't touch his two heels.
If he just went up to Haku and went, you know, please! What happened is Harley Race injured his back when he was wrestling Hogan, and so he actually gave it to Haku, here's my kingship, and, you know, went off injured for a few months. So when he came back at the Survivor Series, he started a thing where it's, oh, I want my kingship back, and it leads to this match.
I just would have said no. No? Too old?
Very venerable, very magnanimous savage, this lad, you know?
Yeah.
So, King Haku comes out. What the hell is that? I've turned Russian.
Oh, he's going to say Welsh.
Oh, Welsh. Haku comes out on his throne, and Haku gets off his throne, and then King Harley comes out. Despite there being, five men carrying him, he just comes out and picks up the throne like it's a piece of paper. Like,
I thought that was quite cool.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be cool if he had at least sold it, it weighed something, but he just, whoop. You know, it was nothing to him, you know? It was like a fucking Happy Meal box or something.
But Haku was still on the thing. It was probably, you know, a cardboard throne.
Yeah,
Haku came out, and, you know, the big ballyhoo and all that, to Jerry Lawler's music, and then Race came out. And sure, he's in the ring before the announcer had even finished saying his name. Has that guy got any charisma?
He is devoid of it.
He probably checked it in when he went to prison.
He does wear those t-shirts well. Looks like a proper star. Yeah, I have very few notes here. I have nice pile driver by Race.
Have that as well.
After they have a headbutt contest, which of course the Foreigner won.
Excellent.
Then the next line says, terrible fucking match. And Haku won with a kick.
It was actually a very nice thrust kick.
Was it?
It really was.
I just have, he won with a kick.
Watch it again, man.
Where did he go?
Watch it on the tape later on. So terrible, terrible match. You know, what did he expect? I did enjoy, though, Heenan, any time anyone was getting on, you know, getting the momentum, he'd be like, I'll go on Race, I'll go on Haku, because he was going to be managing whoever.
Whoever won.
Won the match. So that
he's
was
great.
But yeah, he was great, but he couldn't save the match.
Is it time for the Rumble yet?
Well, there's a couple of promos, really. Oh, man.
How long is that, roughly?
I'm going to say certainly 10, I'd say, from entrances to the bell.
Fair enough.
Decent promo by Brutus.
He keeps on saying that his fists are his weapons, over, and he breaks out the line, strutting and cutting. I thought that was
great.
Is
that the first time he's used it?
I think so, because I definitely hadn't heard it, you know, unless he's been using it on TV or something, you know?
Horrendous one from Valentine. Jeez, talk about no charisma again.
Yeah, Valentine's promo. He said something about Mary hair.
Did he?
What was that all about?
I didn't catch him.
He's got very religious hair. What's more to...
But there was no forethought, no editing of these promos, because Brutus is talking about he doesn't need to use the scissors, he's going to use his fists as weapons. And then Valentine says, I don't need scissors, I'm going to use my fist as weapons.
Oh.
You didn't see that one, did you? And then
it was like it was scripted ahead of time.
And then LOD89 then have their their little promo. Paris Payne do their promo. It's just heavy breathing. Did you see that one?
I exactly have that written. Yeah. It was like the famous Heidenreich and what's his face?
Michael Cole.
No,
Snitsky.
Snitsky promo.
Oh, yeah. It's
just promo 05, maybe?
Is, you know, the I hate coffins. I hate coffins too. But I like you, John. I like Eugene. It was pretty much that, except it was a Japanese bloke. I couldn't hear a fucking word he said except for Ryo Rumbara and breathing in the background. It was also, yeah. It's like really just, yeah, I just, it's just because you never see this stuff in this day and age. You know, everything nowadays is so
generic.
It's just, yeah, you know, like everyone says the same thing because it's the same person writing the shit. Like, I just loved how it was different. Finish off the stuff about the promos.
There's more.
There was a shitty Big John Studd promo. He said nothing of worth.
Hate him.
There was a pretty good Mr. Perfect promo. He looks so young. He looks remarkably like Dolph Ziggler. Sorry, Dolph Ziggler looks remarkably like him.
1989, a brand new year, and Mr. Perfect is declaring this the year of perfection. And I could think of no other way to prove to the wrestling world, all over the world, that I am Mr. Perfect, the Royal Rumble. 30 of the World Wrestling Federation superstars could all be in the ring at the same time. And you've got tall men, and you've got short men, and you've got perfect-sized men. So what I'm going to do is tip the big man over, throw the little man out, and Mr. Perfect will stand and remain the number one man in the World Wrestling Federation. See, I have no friends. I'm not looking for any friends. And when it's all said and done, Mr. Perfect is where it at. So whether you like it or don't like it, it's the way it is.
And then Macho promo without Liz. I just made the point, why is the champion in the match? It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's one of my bookmakers, alright. Yeah, of course it was a great promo.
They're all great, but just why is the champion in the match?
Well, this is before the Royal Rumble match meant anything. There's nothing on
the
line. Oh,
this is the second one, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing on
the
line. I think it's 92 with Ric Flair.
No, he won the title.
Yeah, but that's the first time there was something on the line.
Oh, yeah.
At the Rumble.
93 Yokozuna
won. I don't like all these spoilers.
No, well, you can cut it out, but 93 Yokozuna won and...
Why did you not know this?
Ignorance. I've been keeping off the internet.
93, man. The golden years.
Another Ted DiBiase promo. He says with his money, he can be as lucky as he wants to be. That was a pretty good promo. Andre and the Brainbusters. Another good promo by Andre. And Arn Anderson, he's a good promo man as well.
And Arn Anderson.
John Moody, if you want to win the Rumble, you got to be a loner. You got to go right for the juggler. All people, 30 men, just 30 numbers. That's the way we're going to view them. 30 men, 30 numbers.
He comes across like he's real. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he's playing a character or something.
But that's right. In real life, he's the biggest mark in the business.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it stands to reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is a point about wrestling. I have to say, like, in 80s wrestling here, Hogan, Savage, Warrior, I don't know, everyone on the roster, bar maybe Red Rooster, do any of them take shit? None of them take any shit from anyone. You might get beaten up, but they don't take any shit. They're all serious dudes, you know. No, they don't really back down, unless maybe Honky, I guess, but more with the comedic ones. But in general, everyone on the roster, they're serious blokes and they're here for a reason, you know.
And the managers take the part of the cowards.
Yeah.
So they don't have to.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a brilliant point, actually. Same with the 90s. If you look at Austin Rock or Triple H or Mankind, they don't take shit from anyone. But, like, I was just, like, looking at The Miz. Is he, like, the biggest heel on Raw? And he's just, he's a joke. Mm. You know, you can't take him seriously from the way he looks. He's, like, immaculate, clean shave, and his faux hawk, and his stupid face, and his, like...
Then why can't they change his character? Stop trying to make him a fucking tough guy and turn him into...
But that's right. One week, he's battering people. Next week, he's a coward.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of modern day wrestlers, they act tough. But these guys from the 80s, guys from the 90s, they are tough.
Yeah.
But that's because they were probably on the indie circuit when they were getting the shit kicked out of them. They made them tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is just a serious problem that you can't invest emotionally in them because you don't take them seriously because you can see they're a character.
Yeah, you know, there's only a few guys in modern wrestling who I'm sure no one would mess around with Jack Swagger because he'd break them. I'm sure Dolph Ziggler wouldn't get messed around with either. And there's not many others.
Mm.
Another bag of coke promo from Hogan. He's really skinny in this one for some strange reason. That's like, didn't the whole steroid shit not start for another like 3 years?
Yeah, 91.
Yeah, because he looks really slim. But it was an awesome promo. Fucking great. Hogan's promos are always great.
Didn't he say at the end he's the real champ and everything?
Didn't he go?
Did he say he was the real champ?
I think so. I think he said something like, all my Hulkamaniacs know I'm the real champ or something. I might have misheard or it might have been really, really subtle. That's really cool.
Mm. Can I say it now?
You can.
All right, it's time for
I have to go for a smoke.
Love it.
Cut.
Bang.
Best story ever.
Alright, so it's time for a main event. It's the Royal Rumble match. Alright, so Fink runs down the rules, 2 minutes between wrestlers, and he had to refer to his crib notes though. She usually he knows it off by heart, but not this year.
So well, this only the second time ever, right?
Oh, come on, like, three lines.
By the way, just before we get onto it, did you see...
Oh my god, more promos.
No. Just at the very start of the pay-per-view, Vince is running down the card, or running down some random guys who are in the Rumble.
Yeah.
He gave the Red Rooster specifically high on the card.
He did. It sounded like he was doing it live or something, because he was, like, tripping over his words, he kept forgetting wrestlers' names. Very bad.
Yeah. Rooster, bit of a ham and egger. Number one entrance is one half of the tag team champions, Demolition X. Maybe they were going alphabetically. Number two, confirming that wrestling is indeed a work, the other half of the tag team champions, Demolition Smash.
I love, how often do we see this in wrestling?
Like, very often, actually.
The Hardys did it, right?
Yeah.
Eddie and Benoit. Mm. I'm sure Owen
Too Cool.
Brett have done it. Too Cool did it.
Rumble 2000.
First and second?
Oh, not first and second. It's like...
or just like kind of like
one after the other.
Yeah, but this is... I thought this was a great idea. This was original at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was a nice surprise.
These guys are heel at this point, right?
No, they
turned face. Sorry, it's the Powers of Pain that are heel, right.
But, like, it was a great idea. Two lads.
I like you, Warlord.
I like you, Barbarian.
Don't like coffins.
I like Jay. That's how you like.
Yeah.
No, we went to American Wrestling Rampage.
Yeah.
And a bit of a moment with Hayden Wright. He was like, yeah, come. He gave me like a free autograph and a picture and stuff. And I was like,
And his hotel key.
He's like, come back after the show and get a picture of me in me tights, you know?
Or you in his tights.
Yeah, but he didn't after his atrocious match with Black Magic.
Oh, he looked so... Do you remember when he looked back up to us and there was like puppy dog face?
He was thinking, these lads have got to give me some love. There was no love.
No, there was probably even less love than for Joey E.
No way.
I think that was... No, that was an affront.
That was awesome. I turned my back to him. No. Come back to UTV with D'Lo.
What I do like is that the Demolition, they do conform to the every man for himself rule.
And then I really liked the idea that came in, and then I hated it because pair of idiots. Why not just stand there? Because, you know, bide your time, conserve your energy. Next guy comes in, batter him, throw him out, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
I think that they didn't do that because this is like the second Royal Rumble, so they're getting the idea of every man for himself over, and Demolition aren't, you know, wise enough from having done enough Rumbles to actually do that.
You don't need to be very wise.
Faces aren't wise in wrestling. Do you know Axe has glitter in his hair?
Does he?
He didn't. Yeah.
What hair?
Maybe he's a half vampire. Number three. Holy shit, it's Andre. Marked out huge. Brilliant. For that. Demolition give him a double clothesline and Andre goes down. That was easy.
Mm-hmm.
Double axe handle smashes from Axe and Smash. how do you go, what guys want to do this? Because, to be honest, there weren't many spots in this
room. No, there wasn't at all. I thought Andre coming in third was fantastic, really good way to kick things off. The only thing is, it was quite strange putting him in with so few people because he had to do a lot more work. You know, he couldn't take breaks because the two lads, he was fighting them off. When more people came in, it was the same story.
Then again, though, not many of his moves involve him having to stray too far from the corner of the ropes.
That's true, but even then he was gassed.
Yeah, that's true.
Broke out a lot of bear hugs.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely see that throughout the match. So, yeah, number four is Perfect, still in his AWA gear.
He's no singlet.
Yeah.
He just looks like kind of Johnny Average in his jocks, doesn't he?
Smash his first out, Andre eliminates him. Debut of Rugged Ronnie Garvin. He looked fucking awful.
He did.
Was he not supposed to be like one of the sexiest men in wrestling or something? That's what I heard, no?
That's like...
Isn't rugged by definition not sexy, though?
It's very manly.
Handsome, but...
Yeah, but that's not sexy.
No.
It's quite different.
I suppose it's like Valentine... being the heartbreaker, having a heartbreaker. You're not breaking anyway. break a few mirrors.
Or if he's going out on a few blind dates, just definitely be heartbroken then. You go in, you see this cretin. bollocks.
Yeah, so Ronnie Garvin here, he's in from the NWA. He was feuding with Flair. I could never take him seriously. My bro Greg hated him. Because he used to call him Rubbish Ronnie Garbage.
Hey!
It's like a schoolyard dad from 1989.
That is an 80s insult, isn't it? Smacks of the 80s. That's awesome. Did you guys hear fucking Monsoon talking about how tired Axe is?
No.
Hold on a minute. Three fucking minutes he's been in the match. Oh, Axe must be so tired.
The Iron Man of the Rumble.
JR somehow managed to go back to 1989. But that just really pissed me off. You know, don't say it after 3 minutes how tired he is.
Yeah, the buzzer was pretty awful sounding.
Who will it be? There goes the buzzer!
And no theme song plays after the buzzer.
Yeah. That pissed me off.
People have to just wait to see who it is, you know? In 96 or 97, that first introduced theme songs for every entrance.
Holy shit, it was that late.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been much earlier than that,
Yeah, so Valentine number 6, fuck you. Number 7, Jake the Snake goes straight for Andre, gets a big pop, and but he gets a choking on the ropes.
For an age. He gets a huge pop, though. He's still really over.
Oh, yeah.
As you said earlier, the wrestlers work around Andre. Like, they're doing things that mean Andre doesn't have to move much. Like... his arms being held back, and so he could selling body parts, you know, long choke spots, and I'm going to stamp on your neck and, you know, have my arm over the rope or the turnbuckle for a while, you know?
Oh, it worked, though, yeah. I thought he was great.
Mm.
John's Perfect was selling like crazy.
Mm, bumping his arse.
Oh, yeah. Man, especially for Andre.
Bumping like a boss.
<isn't he? laughs> <Lay bumping.
laughs> I love that. See, that's great.
Number 8 was Outlaw Ron Bass. Monsoon calls him Baldy, which is pretty mean coming from Monsoon.
That insult is a happening, isn't it?
It's really something.
It's because he got his hair cut by Big Beaver.
Yeah.
Andre absolutely jobs out the Snake by chucking him out without any offense.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It was like, holy crap.
What's coming on here?
Number 9 is Shawn Michaels. He has some
serious pop.
Yeah.
From the women, like. He wouldn't be getting that from the women these days.
No. He'd be getting it from the sailors. his spots with Perfect look fucking great. Yeah. These two guys You know, it's like, it was clear watching these two that, you know, the days of the big man are kind of clearly not gone, because we've got 8 more years of that shit to go, but it's just a slow change. The fans were really digging the spots, and it was fucking great.
C skins the cat.
Yeah, Sean skins the cat, and then Perfect does Super Rikishi style.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yeah, bumping like crazy for each other. Mm. Number 10, Bushwhacker Butch. I was wondering why Butch was getting such a huge pop despite it being his first pay-per-view. It was actually because Jake was coming down the entrance way.
Oh, Jesus.
So he takes the snake out and Andre Bales, eliminating himself, a method Kane would use a decade later.
I fucking hate that spot.
Why did Andre go over the rope to get away from the snake?
Because he was like so crippled with fear that he couldn't think straight or something.
Right, I don't know. Whatever, he's an idiot.
Yeah, either way, it makes him look like a stupid person.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, they're actually known as the sheep herders back in the Midwest. Mm. And they were like killer heels. They used like barbed wire and they wrapped that around a New Zealand flag and killed people with it. Like.
Holy shit. And, were these guys popular? Because I remember as a child, I loved these guys. I had t-shirts and myself and John used to walk around like this all day. Like.
Finisher was great, isn't it?
Okay,
the battering ram.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
That was awesome. See, foreigners. Great.
You used a hard head.
Yeah.
Yeah, WWF have enough heels, so here you go. Face looking baby faces. I noticed that they generally had heel versus face and not heel and face. They kept the divide, you know. So 11's Honky, 12, Tito Santana. He goes straight for Perfect.
Yeah, he gets a big pop for it as well. This guy was over. I think he sucks. I know, I've been watching him, and he gets a big pop, and commentary tried to get him over, but I just watched him going, you fucking suck. Martel was a star, man. Yeah, man.
Mate.
The hell was that? Mate. Oh my god, I think I just had like a fucking mini stroke.
I thought you were turning a bit Mexican.
Mate. I thought this guy sucked.
Yeah, I don't see anything in him.
No.
13 is Bad News.
His crowd reaction was Bad News. Jesus Christ.
I think initial pop and then
death.
You, Bad News.
Yeah.
I thought he got
decent considering news. The push he teased me.
Yeah, with, okay, yeah.
It's Bad News for...
I sure he didn't cut a promo saying, I don't care about the Rumble.
Probably.
Yeah, so who would have thought it? Sean's selling for a long period of time, and it's Marty, number 14.
Oh, my boy.
Another big pop.
The Rockers double team Baldy and eliminated.
Did you see that Marty no sells Flair, gives him a dig, but Marty and Sean are in the middle of their double dropkick spot to knock out Ron Bass, and he just kind of looks at him and then just does a double dropkick. Yeah, it's very
awesome. And it's shit like that that got him sacked, right? Like just no selling and smiling through spots, or is it being a massive cunt? Like.
No,
he wasn't he just serious?
He just couldn't get up. But so, Sean.
That's true.
And he didn't get as big as pops, I think, like when they split up.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man, he got a huge pop back in 93.
For the IC title win.
Yeah, man, huge.
Fair enough. Number 15, it's Macho, the undisputed WWF champion who pegs it down to the ring and unloads on Bad News' face, still in his head, handkerchief, and glasses.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He is.
Number 16 is Arn Anderson as Macho eliminates Valentine.
He hits an absolutely beautiful double A spine buster.
Yeah.
It's so much better than Hunter's version. Like it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
Arn Anderson, black tights, red knee pads, white boots. Is that like the ugliest combination of wrestling gear ever? He looks horrendous. Like, he's definitely a wrestler from the NWA.
I wasn't sitting there.
It's like, look at Shawn Michaels and his, like, beaming luminous jocks with the little flaps and whatever, you know?
Are we going to have Arn Anderson come out being a little fucking Nancy boy? You know what I mean? His gimmick is that he's a man. I'm going to kick your ass.
So I wear black and black and ugly. Dressed in the dark. What's the cheapest one on sale? I'll buy that. Yeah, a bit of showmanship. You're in the WWF now, you know? Number 17, proving that wrestling's a work, Tully Blanchard. Tully follows up with a Kevin Nash elbow squash. Mm-hmm. Brainbusters try real hard to get Marty out, and eventually do. That's a rarity.
But not before he's hanging on the ropes with his feet. He's hanging on the top rope. Love that. Love that.
I thought it looked exceptionally fake.
Yeah, it still looked pretty cool, though.
I enjoyed it.
It's Marty Jannetty, man. Yeah. By the way, you can cut this if you want, but I just found out this week that, do you remember in the 94 Rumble, where Taker, you know, the casket match, and Taker goes off. Goes back to his own planet.
My planet needs me.
That was Marty Jannetty.
In the casket?
No, on the ropes.
On the ropes.
That was... dressed up as the Undertaker.
When he gets to the top?
He just hangs there until the end of the pay-per-view and everything goes home.
He gets up there and he's like, all right, boss man. not because he's dead, because of the hanging thing. The boo. Boo. Okay. I'm way heel now.
But that's post-Hogan era, so
yes.
That's fine.
Excellent. Speaking of which, number 18 is the Hulkster, who jobs out Perfect straight away. First thing I thought, how many is he going to throw out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, how many was it?
Oh, I'll tell you at the end. We'll tally it.
I kept the tally.
You kept score?
Yeah.
Nice.
Bad News turns the tide on Hogan and tries to eliminate him with the help of the other heels. Macho does see, but he doesn't come to Hogan's aid, opting to try eliminate Bushwhacker Butch instead.
That's great.
Never mind, Hogan powers everyone and escapes.
Obviously, he was booked like a fucking star, you know, but... I actually thought that his pop wasn't as big as Macho's, I have to say now.
Number 19 is Bushwhacker Luke. The Mega Powers turn their attention to Bad News. There's never a snifter of them engaging each other. And it's at this point I realise that Macho's jocks say Macho Man on them, and not Mega Powers. And he's not wearing red and yellow. He's wearing orange. This is Macho Man colours, not Mega Powers colours.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like.
They probably should save that for the next show.
I suppose it.
Oh, spoiler!
There is a mention.
I don't know if any of you got it, but I was looking at the Bushwhackers and I was just going, man, I bet you the Briscoes loved these guys when they were younger. I just see these guys and think, the Briscoes.
And number 20 is Coco Beware, who's wearing his Hulkamania red and yellow.
Yeah, noticed that.
Hulk gives him the receipt by throwing him out with ease, then Bushwhacker Luke.
Did you notice that Hulk actually got a little bit of heat for throwing out Coco? Because the fans liked that guy. I thought that was pretty cool.
Dude deserved better. Yeah. Number 21 is the Warlord.
I was waiting for this. This is awesome.
I didn't know it was this Rumble.
Did you know? No. Oh, it's great.
Warlord gets in, giving it all that. Hogan gives him the clothesline over the ropes, and he absolutely smashes his shins off the ring apron on the way down. Look really sore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Steps in. Oh, and he's back for the 360, and he's out of there.
He wasn't in there 2 seconds.
Look at this, and the Hulkster dumped Bad News. But he also dumped Savage, too.
Look at, Savage is hot. Savage is blaming Hogan. I don't blame Savage. Hogan did that on purpose.
Wait a minute now, just the Hulkster went over and dumped Bad News. In the process, here comes Elizabeth.
Now what is she doing down there?
Seems to be some dissension in the ranks here, Jess. Look at that, step right between them. If anybody can straighten this out, she certainly can.
That sucks, yeah. Man.
Also, I love the you know you're going to be eliminated spot where you hold the ropes and lean back.
Yeah,
it's almost he knew.
It's coming spotlight.
Well done, Hogan. Then Hogan dumps out both Bad News and Savage. Savage is absolutely pissed and blames him, so this is a big spot of the night. And Liz tries to play mediator. She looks gorgeous in her 80s 101 Dalmatians outfit. Ventura stokes the fire, saying that he knows Hogan, who'll stoop to any level to win. Savage and Hogan finally shake and make up, and both leave. Yeah, I thought that was fucking awesome.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Captivated.
This was clearly the 30 seconds that this whole show was meant for. Like, it was fucking brilliant. Everyone played their part really well. Jesse Ventura was awesome again. Liz was great. Brilliant. It was booking perfection.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting excited now.
Just thinking about it.
What's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So Savage and Liz leave, and then number 22, awesome, it's the Boss Booth.
It had been about 4.5 minutes since Warlord came in at this point. 2 minutes is a load of shit. It's ridiculous.
Are you trying to say wrestling's not real?
I would never say that, or even think that, Joe.
Yeah, so Hogan flattens and slams Trailer until he turns it around with an avalanche splash in the corner. Yeah, man, this is definitely a different age. Hogan took a pile driver from the Boss Man. I was like, I was just saying he's kind of like a mid-carder giving a main eventer Hogan a pile driver. Like, Vince would not think about having Cena take that, just worrying about his neck or Orton and his neck, you know? Yeah,
yeah. Monsoon says, the only reason that Boss Man is after turning the tides here is because Hogan has been in this match for over 30 minutes. And Jesse Ventura turns around and goes, what are you talking about? He's in here for like six.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. Feeling how I was feeling around 20 minutes earlier.
Okay, and number 23, again confirming that wrestling is a work. The third time tag teams have come out sequentially. The Jive Soul Bro, Akeem. The other one's Demolition, Stard, and Brainbusters. So
how, great of a tag team would Akeem have been with the Funkasaurus?
Ooh.
Somebody call them respective mamas. I just thought of now, that'd be great.
Yeah, well done, Steve.
Hogan hits a back body drop on Bossman and dislodges Bossman's t-shirt, and so he looks really unkempt. Just
like that. He looks like this in every match.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Twin Towers double team Hogan and fucking eliminate him.
It's amazing.
Oh, I just thought of you with this. I mean, Steve's got to mark into this.
I couldn't believe it. Talk about a push here. Like.
Yeah.
And then, so that's great, you know, I'm thinking at this point, these lads are looking amazing. Next thing, Hogan, he just won't let it go.
This is probably my most hated spot in wrestling.
This written down.
Steve is going to get mad about this? Yes!
So what happens, Steve?
It is. I'm sorry, rules are... Basically, after being eliminated by the non-Twin Towers, Hogan sticks around and eliminates Bossman. And I'm sorry, it pisses me off. He's out of the fucking match. Yeah. The referee should go to Bossman. It's grand, go on back in. Like, it doesn't count. But this still happens nowadays.
I know. To back up your points.
My tits and I'm sorry lads, I can't stand.
So say if the last two guys in the ring were Akeem and Bossman, right, just so happened to be Hogan comes running out at the end, eliminates both of them, who wins the Rumble?
I think they restart it with the...
If that happened, they'd both get a shot at Yokozuna.
Actually, they'd have a pay-per-view called The Final Four and have the last four lads in the ring a la February 97.
Oh, is that what happens?
Look at this, just bringing it on.
I love it.
Several years in wrestling.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Did you notice Akeem giving Beefer a blowjob in the corner?
Yeah, man.
What the fuck was that all about? I had to let it freaking circle and everything to make sure I mentioned that. Jesus Christ. I've nothing else to say.
Who was that he's giving the blowjob to?
Beefer.
Number 24, Brutus Beefcake.
Yeah, but then he looked like he was fisting him as well at one point. He's like... And Beefer was like... Yeah, man. What was that?
25 is the Red Rooster.
Oh,
and
good.
I loved it. His attire was entirely red, so that made sense.
He just gets battered.
the only guy on the roster that takes shit. Yeah. This lad. Number 26 is Barbarian. Man, I was just like, Ed Leslie, Red Rooster, Barbarian, fuck. The quality in the Rumble has gone down.
That's what I have here as well. As soon as Hogan's gone, there's no star power until number 30.
Yeah. So, like, there was only one time in this pay-per-view that I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And it was actually the last 10 minutes of the Rumble. I was like, that's never happened before.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yep. Number 27, Big John Studd. Jesus, WrestleMania 2 called. Yeah. He makes a beeline for Akeem. Beaver tries to help him out, but Stud tells him to fuck off. It's really funny, because Big John Studd's beating on Akeem. Beaver comes over, trying to, yeah, I'll help you beat him up. He's like, fuck off. It's like, you know, Chaz, when they go to him backstage, and there's, like, the allegations that he's beating his wife, and there's a lot of wrestlers kind of beat him up, and he just kind of no-sells it, just kind of shakes it off, and gives a face. Fuck off.
It's my fucking wife.
This is like, and then cut to Jeff Jarrett and his wife being gimmick with them. Wrestling.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the business. Number 28 is Hercules. It's like, fuck's sake, are there any...
He comes out and he actually does nothing. Like, I don't have any spots written for him. He didn't do a spot.
Just blends into the background.
Yeah, he is a jobber.
So, are there any decent wrestlers left? And then Gorilla goes and spoils the surprise, telling us, when we see the Million Dollar Man.
Mm. Yeah.
Thanks. Number 29, Rick Martel. Hey, he's back. And No Girls in Cars playing.
You know there are... He was really over. He looked like a star as well. You know, he did nothing of note, but I know he got a good pop, looked good, was clearly moving up the card. Good stuff. I love this guy. Thought he was great.
Yes, he is a model. Number 30, it's DiBiase. Oh man, I'm marking out. It's like, finally, geez, you got a big star in here. Then Monsoon says he's surprised the Rooster hasn't been eliminated yet. It's like, that must do wonders for his morale when he watches the tape back.
He definitely doesn't have a feather in his cap anyway.
Don't egg him on.
What a cock.
He should arise above it. Oh god. Ventura explains that the Rumble match stipulates that managers must leave the ringside area, but since Virgil's a bodyguard, he doesn't have to.
I made that exact note. Amazing.
Yeah, that's good logic.
Million Dollar Man, with the help of Warlord, eliminate Hercules and Beaver. Then
Barbarian.
Yeah.
Martel gets beaten up by Warlord?
Akeem.
Do you want to run this game? Here, actually, why don't you run that and finish for us?
Yeah, basically, Ted DiBiase is telling Akeem what to do. Something backfires, and Stud eliminates Akeem.
His car, like.
Which then leaves us with DiBiase and Big John Stud. DiBiase tries to buy off John Stud so he can win the Rumble.
That was great.
But it doesn't work. He gets battered and eliminated, and Stud then wins the Rumble and batters Virgil after the match.
But what an anticlimax the end was.
Yeah, the first two-thirds of this Rumble were great. But then the second Hogan went out.
Fell off a cliff, yeah.
Didn't it?
Even the very end where Stud batters DiBiase, he picks him up and throws him out. There's no build-up to it whatsoever.
Yeah, you can't even appreciate or pop for throwing out DiBiase, the last guy, because Virgil gets immediately in the ring, and they have a schmoz, which lasts at least a minute, so the crowd are dead, and Big John Studd sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck you. Damn it, I'm so angry. Like, I know this match means nothing, but why did Million Dollar Man win this one?
Yeah, I mean, if at the time, I would have bet any money that the Million Dollar Man was going to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the right thing to do. And then, you know, this guy wins it. I mean...
I thought the Red Rooster was going to
win. We didn't have a cock-up.
but then at the end, Stud...
He definitely rules the Roost.
Stud is just standing there at the end.
You're going to stab me.
Punk. Stud is standing there at the end, just puts his arm in the air. Finally his music comes on, and it's just nobody gives a crap, like, you know?
Are you willing to lay money down that most people would not call him a stud? He's not that handsome.
He's not a stud, but maybe, is that a surname then?
Maybe he's not claiming to be a stud.
Big, like. And his confirmation name.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, man.
He won this Rumble. Imagine if this cunt went to WrestleMania and took on Savage.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we cut backstage as Mean Gene chats to Macho Man about the Mega Powers as although he's annoyed, he says the Mega Powers will continue, and he also exclaims that he's the world champion and should have been king of the Royal Rumble. Maybe he'll be the Summer Survivor of WrestleMania.
So old Summer Survivor.
By the way, Savage's promo was fantastic at the end. He's being so sarcastic. He's like, oh, the Mega Powers will go on and on and on and on and on, but you can't buy a word, you know, you can't take a word of it to
the bank.
Yeah, why not?
But, the roost.
Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic. It's really, the tension is building in this.
Yeah.
It was a great promo. There was a lot of good promos in this show.
And so to close the show, Ventura and Monsoon recapped the show results, which was lovely, and they hawked the WrestleMania 5 videotape release date and the commemorative watches.
Didn't see that.
No, oh, it's fantastic. Ventura says that Monsoon will buy 10 tapes so he can get 10 watches and have them up and down both arms. And so at the end, we get John Studd's theme plays, which is actually Hack Sergeant Duggan's theme, without the hole at the start.
Really?
Same theme, yeah. And plays us out to Nigel Stills of the pay-per-view and Star Wipe. And we're out.
And we're out.
Okay, here is the extra segment No. Alright, so here we are in an extra segment, just like last year's Rumble. We're going to tackle Saturday night's main event. It was the final stop before WrestleMania 5, February 3rd, 1988. Who's eating? Alright, so it's the Mega Powers coming out to Hulk Hogan's theme and his colours versus the Twin Towers, Akeem and Bossman. Great ovation from the Powers. Hogan starts off by cleaning house their huge pop. He outclasses the boss man.
I call them more like the similar towers.
The twins. I'm happy with the two towers.
Maybe the cousin towers or something.
They're not even dressed in similar attire.
I know. Well, technically they're both wearing blue and yellow.
Where's boss man's yellow?
He's in yellow stripe.
Does he? Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Similar towers it is.
God, you'd never guess I didn't watch this.
Okay. Hogan cleans house. Throws out the boss man, throws out Akeem. Macho is only in it a little bit at the start. Hogan delivers a devastating axe handle from Brett's rope, the second rope. Akeem finally turns the tide with a rake to the eyes. People, note that down.
Yeah.
It stops a Hulk up. Boss man pile drives Hogan, goes back and forth with Macho, spending most of the time on the apron. He's just really working the crowd and he gets a kick in there when he can. You know, but it's really kind of Hogan stealing the limelight here. So there was a terrible spine buster by the boss man and Hogan. And I was like, I'm sure Arn Anderson did one earlier in the night, but it was like they barely touched, they barely coalesced. It's like Hogan did the work himself and Hogan jumping himself. So there's a classic Macho Man spot where he grabs Akeem's head and jumps over the top rope, giving him a hangman. And he's moving at a lightning pace, like he's so nimble. And then he jumps up to the top rope and gives him a splash.
That's right. That was the move that started his big feud with Steamer, right? He did that to him and hurt his throat, and that was what led to their awesome match at Mania 3.
I think Steamer was actually leaning on the outside security rails, and Savage comes down and like hits his neck off the security rail.
Oh, okay.
And that's how he injures his neck, something like that.
Anyway, I like that spot. Anyway, when he jumps over the awesome ropes.
So the big angle of the match is where Akeem throws Savage through the middle rope and then he splats, absolutely flattens Elizabeth onto the floor. It's great. So Hogan comes to Liz's aid, pushing Savage off to get to her, while Liz sells it like she's Linda McMahon. She's absolutely dead. Yeah, like just... And, Anyway, Savage facials
no
are great.
No rape jokes. No. Yeah, still a classic.
Savage
could work at any time.
So Savage comes to and he sees Hogan, you know, nursing Liz and falling over, and he's not impressed at all. And so he goes back into the ring, getting double teamed by the Twin Towers. Hogan carries a prone Liz to the back, and when he gets to the back, some porters are there with a gurney and he puts her on it and wheels her all the way back to the medic's room, you know. So Hogan's in tears, Liz is still stiff as a board, you know. And the medic, oh, it's like, oh my god, she, you know, she's not moving, she doesn't look like she's breathing or anything. So check one pupil. Oh, let's just check your blood pressure. Like, what kind of medic is this? Anyway, go to ad break where I give out for a few minutes. So after break, Hogan comes back to the ringside, gets a huge pop, and Macho has been getting the beat down since Hogan left. And Akim and Bossman, they deliver a double backbreaker. Like, you get one knee each. It's like, oh! And, you know, Macho's between them. It's very awkward looking. I imagine it was a spot, but it looks like a fuck-up. It's like, because both Tundaras are knocking lumps out of Savage, and then they both run to hit off the ropes, and Akim just falls through the ropes.
Awesome!
And so that turns the tide for Macho.
Good boy.
Who clears the ring of both the lads, and it's, you know, it's, and Hogan's like, oh, tag me, and he goes up to him, smacks him in the face.
Nice.
It's like, he starts giving out to him. And so, you know, he leaves the ring, leaves Hogan to it. Hogan gets in the ring, starts he starts wrestling with the Twin Terrors. So Macho is getting booed as he leaves the ringside area, and then he kind of has a think, and he comes back while giving out to Hogan and grabs his belt and then leaves. So it's like, oh, yes.
Is this WWF/E's like greatest ever feud? You know, I don't mean in terms of money or anything, just creatively. Is this their peak in 89?
Yeah.
Can you think of one other, Steve?
Because when Hogan left, Macho was the number one. Like, he outdrew Hogan more than Hogan drew.
That's awesome.
Before he left. And Hogan came back and he's now outdrawing Savage, so it's like,
yeah,
geez, you got these huge titans and they're coming together with this 1 year build, so but, yeah.
And I know it drew money and all that, but Vince and Stone Cold,
maybe, yeah, was... probably the only thing is that you never really got a payoff to it, because you know, you could never have a good match or anything.
This was a protracted 3 years kind of thing,
yeah,
as well.
But you know,
but yeah, that made their company,
yeah, you might be right,
yeah. So yeah, you'll love this, your favourite spot of it. Although Hogan is left by himself, getting beat up by the Twin Towers, of course he makes his comeback and wins the match. It's like, thanks, cheers, well done.
Only a real American.
So and, Macho couldn't do it.
And he outsmarts the heels as well, as, you know, they handcuff each other, and you know. And he goes back to check on Liz. So we cut backstage to Macho Man giving out to Liz. It was great, saying that I'm the champion, I'm number one, what's going on? Liz has regained consciousness, she's selling her tummy. Just, my tummy. Awesome. So anyway,
back from the dead.
So Hogan gets backstage as well, the two of them get in each other's grill, start pointing at you, don't fucking touch me, all that stuff. And Macho just says he feels like he's number three in the Mega Powers. Hogan never asked for a title shot because he know I'd beat you. And then he just kind of goes off screen, and so, you know, he doesn't exist anymore until he runs back in and smashes Hogan over the head with the belt and starts beating him up. And Liz is like, you know, gets up and don't beat him up, whatever. And he turns around and throws her on the ground.
Awesome.
Great. And so he goes to beat up Hogan, and then Ed Leslie comes in and tries to break it up. And
his pants slightly more cut than ever.
And they get some officials to try, you know, get Macho off him. And Pat Patterson's there. And Macho eventually leaves. And then that's the end with huge angle. So the TV afterwards, Hogan issues a challenge for Macho's WWF title, which Macho eventually accepts. And then Macho would show like clips and stills of pictures of Hogan and Liz out of context, saying, "Oh, you lusted after her, you giant pervert, you." And, you know, Hogan would spoil the fun by saying, "Oh, this is what really happened," that kind of thing. So anyway, the big question leading up is whose corner Liz will be in for WrestleMania 5. Will it be in the faces corner or her man's corner, the heel? So, but she like said, "Oh, I'll be neither. I'll be both. I'll be neutral." Yeah, and that's it. All right. That was an awesome bit.
It was amazing. One of the best things I've ever watched.
One question.
Actually, no, I have to say, it sounds fucking awesome.
But do you not think that they're crossing the line, pardon the expression, going a little bit over the top, as in it sounds like Savage obviously was thrown into Liz, and then Hogan was like, well, what the hell are you doing? Come on, you know, pushing him away and going off with Liz. Is that not a little bit over the top? What did Savage actually do wrong?
Oh, well, he actually did nothing wrong. He was just concerned about Liz, and Savage is just kind of a bit delusional. He'll say, you know, what the fuck, she's my woman, I'll take care of her.
Stay away from my woman.
Then, which is probably something he said to everyone an hour before the show started.
And is Hogan, it sounds like Hogan's almost being a little bit cowardly here. He goes off into the back with Liz, leaving obviously Macho to fight the battle. Why didn't Macho just run off out the back with Liz?
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, Hogan was just like, oh, my concern for Liz is better than I can just beat these lads when I come back, don't worry about it.
it seems to me like Hogan has come across like a bit of a heel in this. I know he's portrayed as the face, but he's just acting a bit of a conflict.
I think this is what makes the best storylines, where you can see both sides of
Both people's arguments.
Fantastic. 1 year in the making. The next up, it's the big one, WrestleMania 5. The mega powers explode! All the feuds finally culminate. So on the card, Demolition versus Powers of Pain and Fuji. Got Jake versus Andre. Rude versus Warrior for the IC title. And of course, Hogan versus Macho for the WWF title.
That's a good card, man. That is a good card.
Superstars.
I'm actually looking forward to watching this now.
Do you want me to take down your excitement?
Yes,
4 hours.
I know. Well, I think it's my one is like 3 hours and 40 or something.
So from the Trump Plaza again, it's another 4 hour affair. So for me, Jay Hunter, signing out, it's Mr. OC.
Yeah.
And V1.
Rapper.
You stay classy, internet.
Fucking throat. Leave that out.
Nice. Anyway, yeah.
I'm gonna watch that. I think
that
sounds good.
Good.
The main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I actually want to watch before I watch main.
You have it here if you want.
No, it's in my car.
That'll do.